morning and welcome to The Simple Plate here on KUMD. We're talking about local food, and it is hard to find food that is more local than our wild rice harvest. David Wise of Native Wise joins us this morning to tell us a little bit more about the harvest, what it's looking like. The drought conditions have been affecting the wild rice harvest, and a group of kids got to go out and learn about ricing, a little bit more about their heritage. We'll find out about that, too. Hey, David, good morning. It's great to have you with us.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
So, Peter David wrote in a recent newsletter that comes from the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission. He says, go west, young ricer, or any ricers. He said that it was really tough on the western Wisconsin wild rice harvest. The drought conditions were really difficult, and was kind of encouraging folks to go into Minnesota, and yet drought conditions, here in our area also have been pretty tough. Talk about what the harvest has been like.
Well, I kind of think we've been in a pattern for the last few years, really. Seems like we've had some real dry spells in the middle of the growth period of wild rice. And that always makes it really tough to get around out on the lake. The poler has to work extra hard when the water levels are low. And also I think it, kind of affects the growth of rice as well. But this year is really extreme. Some lakes were so low that they actually had to drag your canoe through some mud to get out into the water.
Ooh, wow. Not a lot of fun. Go ahead, please.
Well, I said it can be actually a little bit entertaining to get through that stuff. But, yeah, it was, I ended up helping a few elders get through it, and on one of the big lakes that we raced, we actually built a kind of a boardwalk thing to get out there. Like I say, the last couple of years, it's been extreme weather conditions in our region for drought, really.
So it sounds as though it has indeed been challenging. I guess I figured that you were going to say that it was entertaining to watch new ricers come out and try to figure out how to go. Do you find that there are new people ricing every year, or what is the crop of new harvesters of wild rice look like? Or are you concerned that this is a tradition that not everybody is taking up?
Well, it's a rite of passage for the Anishinaabe people. I remember when I was a youth, I was looking forward to being able to get out and rice. And toward the end of the season, that's when the teaching goes on. That's when I would get to go out in a canoe with my mom or my dad or my brothers or sisters and kind of learn the different techniques. There's a lot of things about ricing that basically you would never try to do unless you were ricing, like stand up in a canoe and sweep, reach over the side and all those different things. So balance is real important, and just kind of honing those techniques. And usually the on the tribal lakes, when you turn about 14 to 15, that's when you get to start ricing. And this year we took a group of youth out that had never been out ricing before, and it was kind of like watching a fledgling eagle fly the nest to see him stand up in the canoe and with the shaky legs at first, but big smile on their face when they came in, and we kept everyone from falling in the well. They kept themselves from falling in the water, but we gave them some instruction and support, and kind of cool to see the tradition carry on, and the big smile on the kids' face when they learned how to maneuver the boat to the Manoman.
Now, if you are a white kid, and I don't know if this is, if, I don't know if this is a comparison that you could make, or if it's obviously just restricted to one group, but I guess I'm thinking about a lot of school trips that I took in a homogeneously Caucasian group of kids, and there were always the kids that wanted to make trouble, and they weren't taking it seriously. And I could imagine some of those kids in a canoe pushing each other into the water, that kind of thing. It sounds like this was a more, like the kids that you brought, these are kids that are part of a youth program at ACO, and it sounds like they had an understanding about what it was that they were learning and getting a chance to do, even if they'd never done it before, and that this was something important.
Yeah, you're totally on with that. I was impressed with the group. This was their third workshop that I worked with them on this summer, and they've been totally respectful and really attentive on what we had to teach them. I had an elder, seasoned rice knocker, and that's the person that usually sits in the back of the canoe and sweeps the rice kernels in. The poler pushes the canoe through the rice, and so they all took turns learning the different, positions in the canoe, and they were very respectful. It was awesome to see.
So are you hopeful about the next batch of ricers?
Very hopeful. I think people are realizing how important it is and to be able to feed yourself in this world, the things we've been through in the last couple of years, and it's a wonderful resource that we have and we've got to protect for future generations. And, the exercise that goes into harvesting the rice and the camaraderie on the lake, the interactions with people that you might not see other times of the year, but you see them during ricing season, and just the smells and sounds of the harvest, and, I guess just it's a joyous time of year. I think that's what I've seen on the face of those youth when they got out there, and, they were a little worried. It was kind of a windy day, but we got them into the rice where it's a little more stable in the canoe. And like I say, it was like watching a young bird fly from the nest. A little wobbly at first, but before long, they were really doing great.
David, if you are a non-Indigenous person, is it ever appropriate to harvest wild rice?
Absolutely. There's lots of lakes throughout the region here that are managed by the state of Minnesota, and they're open access to, whoever wants to gather the Manoomin. From my perspective, I just ask that you get a little lesson on it and respectfully harvest, and don't harvest the Manoomin before it's ripe. That's a big one. Yeah, there's lots of resources here in the area, and I think the more people learn about it and gain a sense of respect, the more opportunity that we'll have to protect it in the future. We've had many threats in recent times to the Manoomin, and it's in our story of life, the Ojibwe, the Manoomin is a sacred plant that drew us to this region centuries ago, and it's a strong plant that gives us life and sustains our life through the winter.
So if you are a person who has not grown up in this tradition, whether you are a different tribal person or you are not a tribal person, but this is something you're interested in, are there places or people, rather, that you can reach out to and say, I really would like to take part in this. Can you help me get started? Or that kind of thing. So that you can get a little bit of guidance and make sure that you are, as you say, trying to do this in a respectful way and at the right time.
Yeah. A number of years back, I did a documentary. And I interviewed elders from many different tribes around the region. So that's a good informational video. It's called Manoman sharing an Ojibwe tradition. And then also there's race camps every year. I know there's one at Sandy Lake Band right now, and that's where we took the youth. That's open to, you know, whoever wants to come and respectfully learn about Manoman and gathering, the parching, the processing, and even some of the good recipes on cooking it.
Well, and of course, a recipe, in particular on this program, is never going to go ignored. A couple of different friends of mine have posted on their social media of dancing the rice, which is apparently a part of the harvesting process. And it looks as though they are standing in some kind of a big container of wild rice, and they're just kind of moving their feet a little bit. And what are they doing?
Well, we call it jigging the rice. And what you're doing is you're twisting your feet back and forth in a process where it's rubbing the husk off the outside of the rice. And so at the end, you'll have kernels with a shaft in there, and then the next process is to winnow it, to stand with the wind at your back, and you toss the rice into the air. And the shaft will blow away the light stuff, and the grain will fall back into the basket. That's always my favorite part, because I know after that I'm going to be able to cook some.
Fantastic. Well, and of course, as we did learn on this program, you can make cupcakes out of wild rice. And if that wasn't a life-changing discovery for me, anything you can make cupcakes out of, you automatically have my attention. David, thank you so very much for joining us this morning. And we'll get some links set up on our webpage so folks can look for some of these resources that you mentioned. And once again, thanks so much for being our guest. It was great to have you.
Thanks. Nice talking to you.
David Wise is with Native Wise, LLC, and he joined us this morning to talk a little bit about our wild rice harvest in the area here on the Simple Plate.